Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to begin a new study that's simply entitled The Issue of Authority. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this privilege and honor to come together to open up thy very words. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God would be our guide and teacher today, Lord. We pray for the saint of God listening today, for them to be encouraged, lifted up, and strengthened in the things of the faith. And Father, lest we forget, most important of all, the lost sinner that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the very day that from a heart of faith, that they would call upon the name of the Lord, believing in their heart that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, that they will trust in only his shed blood and nothing else, not their good works or their church membership or their baptism or anything else for that matter, but only in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the payment for all their sins, past, present, and future, and to secure them a home in heaven. Father, with the angels of heaven, we will rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Father, now we commit this time into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We begin our study today on the issue of authority. Now, the key to this entire study and all the studies that we've been doing can be summed up in one word. And that one word is authority. Rather than investigating and submitting to the final authority of God's holy word, many folks, including those who call themselves Christians, listen to some other authority, perhaps themselves, their pastor, their denomination, their feelings, their experiences, or something else that took precedence over the Bible. Before one can ever settle the matter of what is or what is not sound doctrine, the issue of authority must be firmly resolved. To truly settle the matter, once and for all, as to whether the modern charismatic movement is or isn't of God, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ must decide who or what is their ultimate, final, and absolute authority. The first area I want to look at in our study is the need for a final authority. The need for a final authority. Consciously or unconsciously, every person eventually arrives at a place in their lives where they settle upon a standard by which they judge all things and make all their decisions. This is true not only in a theological and philosophical sense, for example, what is truth, but in many daily decisions about what is wrong, who to believe, and how to go about one's task. A failure to objectively decide upon and submit oneself to a final authority results in that person, by default, becoming their own final authority. This position is sometimes referred to as humanism. In other words, man is the measure of all things, his own ruler, and the master of his own faith. This position is also sometimes called relativism, because nothing is seen as absolute. In other words, all things are relative. Decisions are not made according to an objective rule or standard. Instead, a person arbitrarily makes up their own mind on things based upon nothing more than their own prejudices, whims, and experiences. The same situation confronted by the same person on two different days may result in totally opposite choices because they feel different today. Now, again, we're looking at our first point, the need for a final authority. And I want to look at a couple of things under that. The first one is the need for a final authority in secular society, a need for a final authority in secular society. Secular society recognizes the dangers of operating without a final authority and attempts to rectify the problem with laws. Most governments have some mechanism in place where there is a final authority that decides what is right or wrong. Usually this takes the form of a constitution in or a highest court in the land that has the absolute right of interpreting these laws. A court beyond where there is no appeal. Being a man-made system, all human governments and laws are flawed. Although mistakes happen and judges can be corrupt, most free societies can rest in the fact that somewhere in the land is a final arbitrator of issues that can, for the most part, settle the matter once and for all. The second thing I want us to look at under the need for a final authority is a need for a final authority in spiritual matters. Now, like secular society, there must be a final standard in the spiritual realm by which to judge what is true and what is not true. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees taught a system of dead traditionalism that was nothing more than a mixture of the law of Moses, their own opinions, and the way things had always been done. The Pharisees had become their own authority. Now, we're going to look at some verses of Scripture, and what I want you to note is the reaction of the people when Jesus began to teach. Let's first go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, let's look at verse 22. We read the following. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. The Pharisees were incensed by the competition. They instantly considered Jesus to be a threat and challenged him because he was not from their crowd and was not willing to submit to their authority. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21 verse 23. We read the following. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? The one clear fact that emerges from these passages that we read is the need for a final authority in spiritual matters. You see, in the absence of a clear spiritual authority, the only result can be spiritual chaos, false doctrine, and a complete absence of the truth with eternal consequences for many. We read in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, the following. Judges 21, verse 25, we read, in those days there was no king in Israel. And the scripture goes on and gives us the results. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Amen? So that's what will happen when there is no authority. Every man will do that which is right in his own eyes. Amen? So we've seen, as we do our study on the issue of authority, the need for a final authority. Now, let's turn our attention and look at candidates for final authority. Candidates for final authority. So what is the believer's final authority in spiritual matters? There are only four candidates that could possibly claim this order. The first one we want to look at is the church, or a church. Jesus gave his apostles authority while on earth. Let's look at some verses of scripture that back this up. First, in Luke chapter 9, verse number 1, we read the following. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Then in Mark chapter 13, in verse 34, we read the following. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8, we read, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us, referring to the apostles, for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. So we looked at verses that show that Jesus gave his authority, apostles' authority, while on earth. Now, some churches claim to be the sole repository of that authority today. Any denomination, group, local church, or group of local churches that claims to be the only true church is essentially claiming to be the world's final authority in spiritual matters for today. And these and there are two false doctrines that are twisted this view and can be built upon. Now, the first one is apostolic succession. What is that? This false doctrine teaches that Jesus passed on his authority to his disciples, who in turn passed on their authority to the new apostles that they ordained, who in turn repeated the process over and over again until we reach our day. This mantle of authority was handed down from one generation to another until modern times. Elsewhere in our studies, we have already seen from Scripture that the office of apostle ceased in the first century AD. The most notable example of this viewpoint is found in the Roman Catholic Church, which claims to be one and only true and holy apostolic church. They claim that the Pope is the successor of Saint Peter, who was supposedly given special authority above even the other apostles in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. Let's turn to Matthew 16 and look at verses 18 and 19. Let's read them, see what they say. "And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So based on this, all the popes down through the centuries have had this authority, and thus the Pope is infallible when he speaks on behalf of God. All who refuse to submit to the final authority of the Roman Catholic Church are judged by Catholicism to be refusing to submit to God and are thus heretics and will burn in hell. See? But what Jesus, church is built on Jesus Christ. We have so many other verses of Scripture to show that. Amen. But the Roman Catholics have taken these verses out of context and run with them and come up with the false doctrine of apostolic succession, to come up with the Pope, that all popes come from Peter. Now, another example of this false doctrine of apostolic succession, this heresy, are several groups of Baptists that teach church perpetuity. Most independent Baptist church generally hold to a fundamentalist, literal interpretation of Scripture and believe that early Christianity was composed of local churches, much like theirs. From a doctrinal standpoint, this is true. However, those who teach church perpetuity believe that Jesus gave his true local churches the authority to win the lost, baptize converts, start new local churches based on Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Let's see what that says. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And of course, he was speaking to his apostles there. So from this group that teach church perpetuity we see, they're saying the local church in Jerusalem became the repository of this authority and handed it down through the ages via scriptural perpetuated local churches until present times. Some Baptist groups teach that their local churches are the only true churches on earth, and only they have the authority to baptize, celebrate the Lord's Supper, and start new churches. Now, as we're looking at some churches claim to be the sole repository of having final authority in all scriptural matters, we looked at one false doctrine, apostolic succession. The second one we're going to look at is restorationism. Restorationism is the false doctrine of most of the cults. Mormonism, the Jehovah Witnesses, and others teach that Christianity became totally apostate, and the gates of hell successfully prevailed against Christ Church, contrary to the promise of Matthew 16, verse 18. God, therefore, started a new group that is now the only true organization and repository of God's authority on earth today. Their group is the supposed restoration of God's true church, and thus they consider their group to be God's final authority on earth today. We've been looking at candidates for final authority. The first one we just looked at is the church. Now the second one, the second candidate is self. Self. The second candidate for final authority is self. The opinions, wisdom, and conscience of mankind. This candidate is highly desirable, as most people proudly place great trust in their own abilities and opinions. But unfortunately, we are often, if not usually, wrong. Notice with me what Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says. Proverbs 14:12, we read the following. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, self has become the final authority for many as a simple result of sin and pride. Rather than submitting to God and His Word, man seeks to rebel and have his own way. Our original human father, Adam, rebelled against the authority of God. Our original spiritual father, the devil, did the same. Notice with me with what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see, my friends, any man or woman who is honest with themselves know that they are imperfect and prone to error. One's conscience can often be dulled or defiled One's heart can lead them astray. One's opinions and wisdom can be flawed. Trusting in man is simply rebelling against God. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, we read the following. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Let me read that again. I hope this verse will sink in. Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord. The Lord is saying this. Listen up. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Now, again, we've been looking at candidates for final authority. We've looked at a church, self. The third one is God's continuing revelations. God's continuing revelations. The third candidate for a final authority encompasses the continuing revelations of God. In other words, new scripture that is being given today in the form of prophecies, dreams, visions, supposed words of knowledge and wisdom, and experiences of the Holy Ghost. The occult, most cults, most false religions, and unfortunately the charismatic movement, accept the premise that God, or their God, is not finished speaking in this age and continues to speak through these various means today. Once one goes beyond the objective, written word of God, the ability to definitely or definitively determine truth ends. When one accepts that God is continually adding to his written word, a dilemma of massive proportion rears its ugly head. How do we know what is from God and not from God? Do we accept it all? Only portions? Which portions? God supposed new revelations make for a very poor authority, let alone a final authority, because they raise questions rather than settle questions. Inevitably, another authority must be pulled into the equation to settle which revelations are from God and which are not, thus nullifying God's continuing revelations as any type of truly final authority. In a minority of cases, such visions, experiences are compared with the written word of God, with most of them being rejected because they do not match Scripture. In the majority of cases, the final authority of self is called upon to determine what is or is not from God. What do you think? Or how do you feel about this? Because the standard by which truth becomes the standard by which truth is determined. When Paul was preaching his new gospel of salvation through repentance and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was always careful to make sure his hearers knew that it conformed to what God had already revealed in his word. Well, we've just about run out of time here on the pastor study, and we're going to continue our study on the issue of authority next time we come together. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank all of you listening today for joining me for the pastor study. Till we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.